Okay, so we're looking at page 101 of the Normal Christian Life Watchman Nee. Just a repeat from, just to recover what we had last week. he talks about us giving ourselves, and in order for us to truly give all of ourselves, we might have to make some adjustments in our family, in our business, in our church relationships, in our personal views, in our politics. And I like what he says here. He says, this must go. Are you willing? Always wise to submit to him. He wants something while we want something else. And that is the challenge for us as Christians. Sometimes we want something, all right, but it may not be exactly what God wants. And that's difficult. All right. I had a situation this week where, oh my God, I'm sitting up and I'm praising God. I get to telecommute. I get to work from home. I get to look outside my window. I get to ride my motorcycle during the day. I mean, I was on it too. Having a great time. And on Thursday, I had a meeting with some folks and, somebody got the wrong impression or whatever, and they raised their voice to me. And questioned me and questioned my competence, sincerity, whatever. It's a little bit of a verbal attack, and you could tell it's very emotional. And I had to set them straight and let them know it's not what they thought it was. And they changed their tone. So Saturday morning when I got up and started to have my quiet time, the guy raising his voice to me came back to my remembrance. And I'm going to get ready and send an email off to him saying, you know, now that I think about it, let me come back and address that again, because I wasn't really happy with the way that you raised your voice to me. I kind of bounced it off my wife and she kind of set me straight. But it happened on Thursday, but I still was dealing a little bit with it today. And after that, on Saturday, somebody else said something to me in a manner that I did not like. And I mean, I'm sitting in a good place. I mean, I'm sitting level 5, 6, 7 in the Lord. I've got peace and everything's rolling. And then all of a sudden, a couple folks said some things to me or whatever. And I don't like the way they said it. And, you know, hey, look here. I'm Chuck Latham. I'm sorry, Al. You don't raise your voice to me. I got an AARP card. I've been on the earth for a long time. I don't let some young punk, you know, come up there and raise their voice to the kid. So I know I'm a Christian, and praise God I'm a Christian, because if I wasn't a Christian, he would have got something else. All right? Praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm Chuck Latham. I'm just not going out like that. And that was my attitude. And then I'm starting to look at this lesson, and then somebody else had said something to me that wasn't, I mean, God's glory was not in how they did it. And I'm like, that kind of set me off. So, I'm going to just open it up. You guys tell me, you know, hey, look, we're called to be Christians. Little old gnat. They are on my nerves too. What are you thinking? I mean, am I wrong here? I don't think I'm wrong. Susan looking at me with a doggone smile on her face, on mute or whatever, waiting for Al to say something. All right, well, let me ask this question. Has anybody been there?
I don't want to take too much time.
Oh, good gracious of mine. Hey, Jimmy, you better tell him to walk through those steps. I mean, have you guys experienced where you've been at a very high level and at peace with the Lord and people do dumb stuff?
Yeah.
Kind of set you off?
Yeah.
Things don't go exactly? Yeah, you're probably sitting next to the thing that set you off, Juanita.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, they don't say the right thing. They don't do the right thing. Kind of set you off. Well, talk to me about that in relation to what Watchman Nee is saying here.
I
for myself, I have to, because I can easily fall, I think it's easy to go off into your natural flesh reaction, because that's, you know, that's human, that's the human side of us. But then I think the Holy Spirit quickens me before I say or do anything that would not, would dishonor God, to let it go. Because sometimes it's really not that big of a deal.
Oh, wow.
And I think we let things, because we still trying to say, I got my pride and I can't let them walk on me and talk to me this way. That's still part of us. Mm. And we still have to, that side of us still has to die. That has not completely died. And that's what God wants of us.
But it has died in this situation. I was sitting at level 5, 6, or 7, Ronnie, and I believe
it tries to raise itself. It tries to raise itself.
I like.
The word said the enemy will come in like a flood, but God will rise up and stand against him. And I think that's why these sessions that we have reminds us of what God has said in his word, because it's easy to react to something, you know, and because that's where our feelings are in our soulless realm. So we have to always have that up under the subjection of the Spirit of God. And I kind of think what Lee is saying, you know, is the spirit that is life. The flesh availeth nothing. We have to always, he say, walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh and the enemy. So when you're in a place like that, Chuck, I believe any of us, you know, when we're in that space, that place, 5, 6, or 7, that's when the enemy gonna really get busy. Yeah. You know, he just doing what he does, you know, but we gotta recognize that. You can't defeat your enemy if you don't know your enemy. You know, and Jesus said, I think it's in John 16:33. He said that we will have troubles in this world, but, you know, he has already overcome the world. So we have to remind ourselves of what God is saying to us and walk in that vein. Because you're going to be challenged, especially when you're teaching the word of God. I mean, not just teaching it, when you're living out the word of God in a way that's pleasing to God, Satan gets super busy. You know, so we have to, we should be rejoicing in that, because we can recognize it. If you can't recognize it, then the battle is lost. But if you can recognize it, you can do something about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I highlighted, good comments. I highlighted what Nee says here. It says, it is always an easy matter to get out of his will. But it is a blessing. So, and this is what I'm understanding. It's one thing when we're getting attacked or we're going through tough times at level one. But we should not count it strange when we're in a right relationship with God and then weird stuff still happens. And I think that's where we get thrown off. Because, and that's the real sign of whether you have a normal Christian life. I just kind of wrote some things down. You can get attacked or you can have difficult times, and it doesn't always mean that you're at level one. You could be at level 4, 5, and 6, or 7, and an attack comes, and the purpose of that attack or the purpose of that comment is to try to, as Juanita said, raise that crucified flesh up out of the grave that will pull you back to level one or off the map altogether. And you miss it. And so you got to understand that sometimes you go through things as a mature believer because the enemy's design is to try to knock you outside of his will, even though you are in his will and you're in righteousness. And so, you know, the scripture that kind of hit me was, you know, being persecuted for righteousness. If you're in right standing, expect persecution to come and don't expect it to be strange. You know, hey, why is this happening to me? Why is this person responding to me like this? You have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. It could be that somebody or the enemy is trying to get you out of alignment with God because of the circumstances that are going around. So I just kind of wrote this down. And so when those types of things happen, we're going to get into his glory is still there. The problem is you got to have a different response. So you got two ways that you can respond. You can respond based upon the Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of you, or you can respond in your flesh, the old person. So there is where, yes, ma'am.
Can I share one thing?
Sure.
I had a test this week. Mine was, I believe, a test, like a pop quiz.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it was what was happening at first, but a customer who's never home, had her for 8 years, now she's home, so she was watching out the window the tech do the yard work, and she didn't see him do a section, even though he had been on the phone with the supervisor and been reminded to do every section.
Okay.
And so he did it, but she didn't see it. Well, then that just brought to her mind, well, I thought I had back loan service also. I thought I had service in my back loan. Well, she, to speed things up, she called me and was kind of attacking, you know, her price, her service, all this. And at first, I responded, I didn't get ugly with her, but I just, in myself and to Jimmy and our loan supervisor, I was defensive and I was just wanting to take care of it. I just was defensive and wanted to take care of it. Typed a nice little tidy email to send to her to let her know exactly how we felt about it. And didn't send it, though, that night.
Praise the Lord.
And the next morning, I woke up the next morning, and I mean, I wasn't thinking about her. I wasn't thinking about that. And the Lord said to, you're in pride.
Ooh.
And then he told me, and then he took me to the scriptures that you need to get on the narrow way. Wide is the path to destruction that leads to death, and many will go on it. But the narrow way leads to life. And he's like, and the specific words was, you have got to approach this in humility.
Exactly.
And because, I won't go through how we did it, but we changed our whole thing. Jimmy confirmed to me that I was thinking right, and we approached it in humility and ended up, we were right. And she had to, you know, succumb to that. And so, if we
didn't
factor, we would have never known.
So, it's not just, we're mature saints. And it's not that the things we do are going to be toward the destruction of our soul. But it could be to the destruction of a relationship or something like that or whatever. So we have to look at these things from a perspective. So everything that happens to me, I'm trying to turn it around to a spiritual perspective, because it could be something that's trying to knock me out of alignment or whatever. And here's what it does. It causes me, see, my issue is not so much have I given stuff to God. My issue is, have I really put my all on the altar? Is there something I'm holding back? Because it's like, hey, look, God, I've invited, Christ is knocking at my door. I've invited him into my house, and he's able to go through every room of my house. But there's a closet back there here that I don't need him into, because I want to be able to do what I want to do in that closet. So that's one thing. Do I surrender everything to God? The other thing is, I let him in my house, and he's all in my house, and he owns and controls everything. But now I just got mad and upset, and it's like, well, Jesus, I'm going to park you outside, because I got to deal with some stuff. So that's something that we have to, that we struggle with sometimes as Christians. So now here's my question for you, and I think Susan already answered it. How do I make the right decision when I know I'm being tempted to get out of alignment with God and his will? How do I make the right decision? How can I get to the place where my decision is based on God and the power of the Holy Spirit as opposed to me? How do I keep that old dude in the ground when somebody's messing with me?
And another thing that God spoke to me that morning was, you gotta want to be right with me more than you want to be right.
I'll write that down. You gotta want to be right with God more than right in yourself.
And how much God confirmed that was, he had spoke that to my heart. Well, when Jimmy was walking out the door and we were finishing the conversation, he turned around to me and he said, we just got to make sure we're doing what God thinks is right.
Amen.
And I was like,
okay.
Even though I wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
She was calling me an aggravation.
Oh, yeah. And so nobody said it, but you had said it earlier. The way that you make decisions when you get when you have conflicts in your relationships, conflict with others, when people don't respond the way that you think they ought to respond, which is that's the nail in the coffin for me, boy. I tell you, when people don't respond, when Christians don't respond the way you think they should respond, and when it disagrees with your spirit or whatever, that's the thing that just kind of, you know, chaps my hind parts or whatever. But how I make sure I make the right decisions is I go through those steps. And if Nee would tell you, you have to remind yourself who you belong to. And that the power of God is in your life. I mean, I had to go on my prayer walk this morning and just kind of walk and go, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I gave it to him and picked it back up about 3 or 4 times on that walk. But then I finally had to give it back to him and say, look, I don't want to do this. I have to remind myself that the power of God is inside of me. That does not mean, let me say this to Justin, that does not mean that Christians are doormats for somebody to just walk all over us. What it does mean is that my response is going to be one that is not in the natural. It's going to be one that glorifies God. And sometimes I have to give my haters to the Lord and let him deal with them, even my loved ones. So I just thought about that. And this is, it's like that living sacrifice thing. I think Rick Warren kind of talked about it in his book Purpose Driven Life years ago. It's a living sacrifice, and we have a tendency sometimes to lay our bodies on the sacrifice, and God has it, and we belong to God. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's a living sacrifice. Let me jump off this altar and take care of some business over here in the flesh, and then I'll jump back on later after it blows up. Okay, so. He talks a little bit about the difference between a servant and a slave. Here is one that I really liked, and I highlighted it. By the right of redemption, I am God's property. And that's something that I have to remind myself. And so I thought about 1 Corinthians 6, and as we've got some time, today is a lot of scripture because I just got to share some things with you guys. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, I don't know, it looks like Susan or somebody. It looks like Al's turning to Al. You got your funny Bible? Are you? Oh, buddy, I know this is. Now he's looking like he's. Okay. All right. So Susan's got it. All right. First, can somebody read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20? Bail Al out.
Okay.
19
through 20?
Yeah.
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
I belong. We belong to God. We are not our own. By right of redemption, what he means by redemption, through the death of Christ, by us accepting Christ's body, his death, his resurrected life inside of us, we are not our own. Somebody had a suggestion for us to maybe have a communion. You know who that was. And I thought about this. And, you know, the last time we did a communion together and I kind of walked through that Jewish betrothal ceremony thing and kind of told you that, you know, symbolically, when you take the cup of the wine or the juice, what you're really saying is, Lord, I accept your life and give you mine. And I think we want to do another communion just here on Zoom or whatever, just to remind ourselves, when you take communion, that's basically what you're really saying. I accept the life and the power of Christ and his Holy Spirit that's inside of me, and I give him my life. So every time I have one of those situations where, okay, the dude raised his voice at me, now I'm upset, but I give my life, my response, my emotions to him because I am God's property. All right? Okay. Then he works down. Oh, he's got the thing about the Galilean boy. He talks about it. I thought that was just great. That's over on page 104 or 103. I'm sorry. And he talks about the Galilean boy brought his bread to the Lord. What did the Lord do with it? He broke it. So he takes that sacrifice of the boy's lunch and he breaks it and he offers it to God. And Nee has a point here. It says he breaks what he takes, but after breaking it, he blesses it and uses it to meet the needs of others. I don't want to go through the whole section of what he talks about after that, but just that piece right there. He breaks it and he blesses it and he uses it to meet the needs of others. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe what Nee said? Do you believe that? Mom's shaking her head. Do you believe that God will take what we offer ourselves, break it, and then bless it, and that it's going to be used to meet the needs of others?
Yes.
How does he do that? Oh, wait a minute. When the breaking occurs, what level are we at? Okay, so here's what happens. I think you're right, but I think I see something else here. When you first came to the Lord, or when you find yourself outside of that will of God, you find out that you have a need. When you determine that you have a need, aren't you already broken?
Yeah.
So you're really at level one. Okay. Excuse me. Have you laid a sacrifice at level one? But he's talking to mature believers here.
Okay. Well, at that time I wasn't.
So now we're talking, don't count it strange if you go, okay, wait a minute, Jimmy kills stuff, so he don't grow stuff. But I saw a guy with some crepe myrtles. Like a friend of mine's got a whole thing of crepe myrtles. And the things are growing straight up in the air. And he keeps pruning those things and cutting them back so that he can refine the shape of how that thing's going to turn out. Does God do the same thing with us, and does he prune things with us? When he does the pruning, is the pruning at level one, or is that another level of our relationship with him?
Another level.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm talking about here. I'm talking another level. Oh, you know what? I'm writing that down. We're talking in my book, another level. Yeah, it's another level. So see, here's the problem for a lot of Christians that are not living a normal Christian life. You've gone through step one where you've humbled yourself and you recognize the need for God. Two, you've put off the old guy and now you're walking in this new life, which takes you to level two and three, and you got Christ in your life and you're reading your Bible or whatever. Boom, the Holy Spirit comes in, you're being led by the Spirit in some things or whatever. But let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will sometimes allow you to go through some things or whatever, or show you some things, and then all of a sudden you get to this place where you go, woo, I see that even though I'm in right standing with God, there's some other stuff that God is dealing with me in that I need to let go, and you're broke again. Because in order for you to, as Juanita said, go to another level, he's got to break you, and then wait a minute. And that's a powerful testimony for everybody else who's trying to live this normal Christian life. I went through some, oh, come on, Bob Bostic. I went through something in my life, and now God is using what I've gone through as a testimony of his greatness to show you how you deal with this thing, and all of a sudden it goes to his glory.
Amen.
So here on the bottom of page 103, he talks about, my giving of myself to the Lord must be the initial fundamental act, level one. Then, oh, highlight this in your book if you haven't. Day by day, I must go on giving to him. Giving him what?
My life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Not a trick question. I thought I gave my life to him yesterday.
Every day.
Why do I have to do it every day?
Faith's out there every day, too.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy said every 5 minutes.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I must go on giving to him, not finding fault with his use of me, but accepting with praise, even when the flesh revolts against. In the examples that I gave you, in the example that Susan gave you, are those flashpoints where the flesh is starting to revolt? Yes. What is the flesh revolting against?
The spirit.
The spirit. Because the spirit says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And when you're being persecuted for righteousness, you have the power of Christ in you to be able to do. Wait a minute. Here is the power of God. I think we missed the absolute power of God. When people do crazy stuff, oh my God, I'm riding my motorcycle the other day and I'm next to this car and she had to see me. And all of a sudden I'm in the left lane, heading up, Vaughn Road, getting ready to, turn on Vaughn and Taylor at the light there, and I'm coming up there, I'm in the left lane, and some cars in the right lane, and got this big old SUV, and she starts coming over into my lane. I'm on a motorcycle. She starts coming over into my lane. Didn't signal, coming over into my lane, trying to take a brother out. But I backed off, kind of saw her kind of easing over. She gets in there. I don't know if she saw me. Looked like she might have finally recognized at the last minute that, you know, she kind of cut me off. So we're about 5 seconds down the road. I'm sitting up here. I'm so mad. I'm trying to look for the horn button. Don't laugh at me, Roger. I'm trying to look for the horn button on my bike. So I find it like 5 seconds after this happens, and I blew my horn at her. Just to let her know there's a brother back here that she almost, you know, took out, cut me off. Now I stayed behind her, and then she wandered back off over into the, you know, right lane again. I want to speed up so I can get a look at her. You know, just,
yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
Amen.
He's off the scale.
Oh, my God. And gosh, you got to understand. Wow. You got to understand. I'm riding my bike. When I ride my bike, all I'm doing is I'm pumping Christian music. So I'm in another place. I'm in another zone. I got my Christian music going. I'm praising God. I got my hand in the air, praising the Lord or whatever. I'm riding my bike. There's a freedom when I'm riding my bike, you know, and everything's great or whatever. And all of a sudden, this, you know, chucklehead, you know, kind of goes off into my lane or whatever. And now I'm mad and upset. And Al just has the audacity to tell me that I'm off the map. Wait a minute.
What?
I didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything. What I was going to say was this. a lot of times, like, you were like someone on a high. I know, I'm speaking for myself now. When I've been in a mode like that, something happens. And then it's like, are you really where you say you are? Or where you think you are?
I was!
I know, but I'm saying is that little incident brought you back to earth to make you question yourself. Because, see, you out there, and you're a witness to the world of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Let me go on. So I just muted Juanita because I'm tired of hearing that. Let me unmute her.
So I've got a sticky note. Do you want to hear my sticky note?
Yes, Cammy, go ahead. Before I mute you two.
Hey, this goes back to kind of what Ken was talking about earlier, but I think fits really well here. And it's from one of Eric's sermons, and he talked about embracing the tension between your salvation surrender and your daily surrender. That tension, because it never goes away. And I think a lot of us forget, we get that initial salvation surrender and we think, okay, I'm in, I'm good, I'm done. And we forget, and so we struggle with that daily thing. But it's there, it's going to be there, it's not going to go away. It's part of life on earth.
Let me piggyback on what you just said. So that seems to be a very, oh my God, Life just kind of sucks if we got to deal with this thing every day. But here's the power. I think sometimes we look for walk on water type of miracles, but this is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
He has put something inside of us that allows us to do something that we were never able to do before in our flesh.
Yes.
To glorify Him in the midst when we have done nothing wrong. Or even when we've done something wrong, to be able to turn back around and repent. I didn't do anything wrong when I was riding on my bike. I didn't violate any road laws when I was riding on my bike. She came over into my lane and she violated me. I'm almost getting fired up just thinking about it again. But this is where God, but so now the question is, how does God get glory behind what she did to me? Boom. You know what the Holy Spirit reminded me of when I was on the bike? Because I was trying to speed up to give her the evil eye and forgot that I had my veil, my I know, just pray for me. All right. You're still up. I see you waving your hand, but I ain't through talking yet. I'll give it to you in a minute. Rodney, just take care of her now. Tell her, forget, you know. The Lord started to remind me of His goodness. I didn't get knocked off the bike. I didn't have an accident. My bike didn't get scratched. My body didn't get scratched. I'm all right. My praise music is still rolling or whatever. And then when I looked at it in the spiritual perspective, I'm like, I should be praising God instead and giving Him glory. Now, wait a minute.
Hit you.
Praise the Lord. But look at what we're doing here. We're at Bible study. And we're talking about something that's giving God glory, because I cannot be the only person walking on the earth, and I cannot be the only person on this call that doesn't deal with stuff like this on a day-to-day basis. And now I can use this for His glory, because now you know that you don't necessarily have to walk on water. You can do things that you were never able to do before, because the Spirit of the living God is in you, and it gives you that Holy Ghost power to keep the kid in the ground. That's power. That's some power. Because you know what we, Juanita, you know what we want to do.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I get it all the time.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, Janice, you were going to say something. Talk to me.
I was just going to confirm that you said it. I was going to say, God, you asked how did God get glory out of it. I was going to say that God got glory by saving your life. God got the glory by saving your life.
But see, God saved my life a long time ago, but see, we miss it. So just, you don't even have to do anything wrong. You got to understand, sometimes people say things. Sometimes people do things. Sometimes the enemy uses, spoke the wrong. Sometimes things happen because it's trying to knock you out of alignment with him. All right, take a look at the last part here as we're running out of time. Take a look at the last part of page 103. Taking you down to 104, because I do want to talk about chapter 7. Oh, my God, chapter 7 is something powerful. All right. He says here, you want to acknowledge in everything his ownership and authority. That is the attitude. Oh, my goodness. Here you go. That is the attitude that God requires, and to maintain is true consecration. I do not consecrate myself to be a missionary or to be a preacher. I consecrate myself to God and to do his will. Nothing but good can come to those who are wholly his. May we always be possessed by the consciousness that we are not our own. And that's the problem, and that's the challenge that we have. Because sometimes we get, I know we're mature. I know we love the Lord. But sometimes things will happen in your life that you want it your way. And you get defensive and you want it this way. Oh, God forbid somebody try to call you out on it. You want it your way. And what he's saying here is we got to be careful of that attitude. So I highlighted the word attitude, and we're running out of time, but I highlighted the word attitude. And my point here was attitude, a godly attitude, is also a beatitude. At the level that he's talking about here, when he says acknowledge in everything his ownership and authority, that is the attitude or the beatitude that God requires. What level of beatitude do you think he's talking about here? Because he says that is the attitude God requires, and to maintain it is true consecration. So when I read knee, I can't separate the feast too much. Which beatitude do you think he's talking about here when he says that is the attitude that God requires, and to maintain it is true consecration, not false consecration? The hardest thing to talk to is somebody who's so self-righteous, don't think they're wrong. What level of attitude, which of the beatitudes do you think relates to what he's talking about here? And don't waste too much time, because I got to give you the introduction to chapter 7. Let me run through the Beatitudes because they line up with the steps. What's the first Beatitude? First Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's, I'm recognizing my need for God. I'm past that. I know I need God. Two.
Those that mourn.
Blessed are those that mourn. Anybody feel bad about your past, and you've already let the past go? Boom. I'm past that. Three, blessed are the meek. I got a new attitude, new hope. Four,
blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness.
I'm hungry and thirsting after righteousness. I want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. I want him to lead me and guide me in the things that I'm doing. All right, next step.
Merciful.
Blessed are the merciful, for we shall receive mercy. So anybody doing some good things out there, then we exercise some mercy. I want to say something to some folk, but I didn't say it because I'm giving them mercy. All right. What's the sixth one?
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
That's true consecration. So sometimes the devil does not want you to get to level 6 because level 7 is peace, and he doesn't want you to get to level 6 because you can get all the way to level 5, all the way to level 6 and be ready for consecration, and then somebody cuts you off and tries to bump you, if somebody messes up, if somebody's mad because you didn't do something to their yard. You ain't doing anything wrong. You standing in right standing with God, and all of a sudden somebody tries to cut you off in traffic, and all of a sudden you want to do something to them, and guess what the problem is? You still think you're at level 6. You know what? That lady might have cut me off in traffic, not because she wasn't paying attention, but that's the devil just trying to use me, just trying to use some things to get me out of alignment. Because I'm so close to being set apart for God. Maybe that's why Christ says watch. All right, we got 4 minutes. I got to take you to chapter 7. I had a bunch of scripture lined up or whatever, so we're going to start off with chapter 7, but this is powerful. And if you have not heard Pastor Adam's message, if you did, great. If you haven't, he's got a powerful message. I had to send him a note, and let me just get to chapter 7. It's over on page 105. This is huge. All right. We have spoken that you need revelation. You need to know the word. Two, by faith, you know, consecration. So you need to know the word. You need to reckon that it applies to us. You need to walk in faith to present yourself to God. And he talks about this consecration. But here's what he says. Unless we see the end that God has in view, we shall never clearly understand why these steps are necessary to lead to that end. Okay. So I don't know what exactly he just said there, but he goes on a little bit further. He's saying, what's the bullseye? How does this thing end up? What is the end? And then he says, the great divine goal before us is what? What is this great divine goal? And all this is on page 105. All right. What is God's purpose in creation, and what is his purpose in redemption? Why did he create us? And why did he redeem us? It is the glory. And he talks about the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that scripture by heart. All have sinned and fall. Here we go. I got to write this down. All right, write this down. Oh, yeah, I got to write this in my book. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Is this level one or some other level? So when we look at Romans 3:23, and I know we're mature saints, we've seen this before, and it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. At what level do you think this normally applies? In fact, what level do you normally apply this scripture to? Absolutely. This applies to level one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We always, in my mind, attribute that to level one. All right? If my level six, level seven motorcycle riding, praising God, full of the Holy Ghost on my bike riding self, let's the lady who went over into my lane and cut me off, if I respond the way that the old guy wanted to respond, does Romans 3:23 apply to me in that instance? Yeah. Why?
You're short of the glory.
Boom. It is. Here we go. It is possible for your self-righteous butt to be all over the scripture, memorize scripture, do all this. Come on, you're a religious Pharisee. It is possible for you to be all that in the Lord and be called on the name of the Lord. All right. And still fall short of the glory of God. And I know this is the Holy Spirit speaking, because I did not have this in my notes. And I'm like, I look at Romans 3:23, and it is possible for you to fall short of the glory of God in your marriage, on your job, in your relationships, and your walk with Christ. All right. Now, I want to get to this piece, and I know we're right at the time. All right. But, whew, man, man's thought is always of the punishment that will come to him because he sins. Okay, yeah. That's how I got saved. I got saved because I knew I was a sinner. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to face judgment. But God's thought is always the glory man will miss if he sins. We, when we're in our early maturity, don't want to sin because we don't want to go to hell. Nia is saying, man, once you have a relationship with God, God is looking at this thing a little bit differently. His end purpose is not so much to save you from hell, which it is, but it is to bring you glory. bring him glory. All right. The result of sin is that we forfeit God's glory. The result of redemption is that we're qualified again for glory, which means nothing we do, if we come the right way, disqualifies us from his glory. And here he points it out. God's purpose of redemption is glory, 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 glory. Whose glory? His glory. We're going to go through a bunch of scripture next week to kind of outline that purpose. And the reason why I thought Pastor Adam's message today was so powerful, if you turn quickly to Matthew 5:14, he pointed out Matthew 5:14, and I just had to send him an email today when I saw his message. And I don't know, whoever can get to Matthew 5:14, just read that for me.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
So
it's not Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is saying we are the light of the world.
When Pastor pointed that out, I was just so impressed. One, he's talking about who Christ is. He's talking about the light. He did this. He played a clip from another preacher. All right. And it was a pretty powerful clip. Now, let me tell you why this was neat. Because most preachers are not going to give you sermon snippets from another preacher, because that would take the glory off of them and he'd have to share it with somebody else. You got to be humble, and you really got to be concerned more for the people than yourself to have somebody else's clip on your sermon. And then he talks about at the end, he uses Matthew 5:14 to kind of demonstrate, hey, look, Jesus is the light, but he put his light in us so that we can reflect his glory. So when he started saying that, I was like, man, his sermon is tying into, even though we didn't get far into it, it's tying back into what we're talking about here. That's your confirmation right there. The reason why I can't chase after that woman, cuss her out, flip my finger up, have bad feelings, even though she might get away from me, is because I'm supposed to be a light and a reflection, and I'm supposed to bring him glory. And if I can't bring him glory in my flesh, my flesh can't bring him glory. It can only be through the Spirit. All right, so we left off there. Bring him glory. I want to talk about this whole glory thing or whatever, because it's so powerful. And one of the things is, when I was growing up, let me just ask Roger for a minute. Hey, your son, that wrestler. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, I went to a wrestling match, and Roger invited me to a wrestling match, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there with Roger, man. I'm learning about wrestling. Roger's into wrestling or whatever now. His son's up there getting ready to pin this dude or whatever. I mean, it's just an awesome thing. Roger, let me ask you a question. When you're watching your son out there, and he's giving these guys a smackdown, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel good. I feel good for him.
Proud that he's worked so hard at. And proud. Gabe brings Roger glory.
Yeah. Yeah. He's our father. What are we supposed to do?
Bring him glory.
Bring him glory. And Al started out with it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not, level 6. Lead us not. I'm going to have to do a study on the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. What level do you think that is? But deliver us from evil. That's level 6 saints praying right there. I'm already there, but somebody might still tempt me that I might lose it. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the
glory
forever. Nia is saying it's about his glory. Our purpose in life is to bring him glory. Not just in a resurrected life, but in every decision that we make going forward using the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. Any last words? We're 5 minutes over. I'm getting better. Any last things before we close out?
Can I ask a question? Kind of a question, kind of a challenge.
Sure.
So,
we talk about every week what level we're at, and we give testimony like you on your motorcycle, Jimmy and Susan with the lady who challenged them. And we all have those challenges every day or every week at least that we have to go through. And I think one thing that was coming to me through this whole teaching today is that each one of us have different personalities. You and I, Chuck, are type A. We want to just like, boom, hit them with it. As soon as it hits us, we just want to lash back out at them. Ooh. And then there's people like Nellie Sue and Jimmy and Roger sometimes who are more quiet, reserved. They're going to process it and think it before they let anything come out of their mouths.
But they might get away if we wait too long.
But one thing I've been trying to figure out for me is I'm quick to react, and it's something I've dealt with for 48, almost 49 years. And so my question is, we know what's happening, and it's still happening. So how do we go about it happening less? Like, I need a strategy to put in place in my life so when those situations hit, I can have more self-control.
So I will – that's good. I will tell you this. Two things. One, never forget who you are in Christ. That's the first thing. Because sometimes – because that's the first thing that the enemy did to Jesus when he was in the wilderness. If you're really the Son of God. So every time things hit, you got to start looking at those things in the natural as they're hitting you in the spiritual. So the question is, Chuck, if you are the Son of God, God would not let that lady cut you off. If you really are the Son of God, then why don't you go up there and cuss her out? I got to remember without a doubt that I am the Son of God. So I don't have to respond that way. The second thing that protects me is the Word of God. And I have a word that is in my DNA. And part of it is Psalm 23, because when I do Psalm 23, it helps me understand the feast. Regardless of what happened, it was what's happening. It is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So for us type A personalities, they're, oh, no, you didn't. and wants to respond immediately. Before I send that email, immediately I come back to the point of, and she just lost her internet connection. So we'll have, so somebody reach out to them and let them know, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He makes me stop before I react to make sure that God gets the glory. So somebody reach out to them, because I'm looking at that look on her face. Huh?
He's still talking.
Oh.
We didn't hear it.
Did it?
We didn't hear any of it, Chuck.
The last 5 minutes.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You got past,
oh, no, you didn't.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then when it's type A personality and you, we say, I know you didn't.
Right.
And then,
all right, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. And when I follow the word and I apply that word, let me ask a question. Does Psalm 23 apply to anybody here on this call?
Yes, everybody.
Then walk in it. And so you follow those steps. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of my needs. He's going to take care of my need for my pride. He's going to take care of my hurt heart. He's going to take care of my burning feelings. He's going to take care of that. He leadeth me. He maketh me lie down. And that's the key point. He's making me lie down because I don't want to lie down, because I'm type A and I want to go off and I want to let them know that they did the wrong thing. But when I follow the word of God, he restores my soul and not me. And then that way, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for whose name's sake? For my name's sake?
Yes, sir.
Simple answer, do Psalm 23.
Sure.
Yes.
I just want to say, you know, listening to this lesson and everything, earlier in the message you was talking about communion.
Yep.
And Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. A body was broken for him. So when we eat, we eat in the body of Christ.
Yep.
And we should be in remembrance all the time that we are, on earth, we are the body of Christ.
Right.
So whatever we go through, whatever we come up against, we got to remember that we are the body of Christ. And I think that will shut us down about the way we react, the way we respond, the way we look at things, the way we say things, the way we do things. We are the body of Christ in the earth today. So yep. we cannot react in a way that is displeasing to God. And I mean, it's not easy, but that's who we are.
But you know what, Ken?
Yes.
It's starting to get easier for me.
Amen. Me too, God. I'm A-type. But
yeah, it's starting to get easy. The power of the Holy Spirit and His Word is starting to get easy.
Yes.
All right. Let me pray for us as we get ready to get out of here, because some of you guys are freezing up on me here. We went longer, but it wasn't my fault.
It's my fault.
Al, you're going to make, I heard you, Al, you're going to make me go through my steps with you.
I didn't say nothing.
Oh, you didn't?
You don't have to, Al.
Well, Al, count it all joy. You got persecuted for righteousness. Man, I love you guys, and Jesus loves us more. Amen.